Hi, and welcome to another edition of Zoomed In. I'm the host, Brandon Chapman, and I'm joined by not one, not two, not three, not four. I'm joined by one, two, three, four people today. So there's five of us on this video interview podcast, and we're going to be talking about COVID, and we're also going to be talking about pet dogs during the time of COVID. And the amazing research right now that these four individuals are doing, and really how COVID has impacted not only our lives, but the lives of the dogs. And so I'm going to have each of these individuals introduce themselves, tell you what institution that they represent, and maybe just something interesting about themselves, like what their favorite animal is, aside from maybe a dog. So we'll go ahead and start on our top left.
Hi, thank you. I am Corey Busolari. I am an associate professor in the counseling psychology department at the University of San Francisco. And my favorite animal other than a dog would have to be my hairless sphinx cat, Guggenheim, or Googie, which is her nickname. She is definitely number one on my list.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Phyllis Erdman, and I'm in the College of Education here at WSU. I'm the Department Chair of Kinesiology and Educational Psychology and the Associate Dean in the college. And my appointment is in the Counseling Psychology Program. My favorite animal other than a dog would have to be a horse. And although I do not own a horse, I've had the fortune of working with many, many horses. And I would probably say Charlie, the Appaloosa, has been my favorite horse in the past.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Lori Kogan. I'm a professor at Colorado State University in the Department of Clinical Sciences. And I was thinking about my favorite animal besides a dog. And I'd have to say it, I have a fondness for elephants. So I have adopted baby elephants. And so I get monthly pictures of my baby elephant. And so it's kind of fun.
That's great. Thanks, Lori. And last but not least.
Yes, I'm Wendy Packman. I'm a professor emerita at Palo Alto University. And it's a very interesting question about my favorite animal after a dog. I would actually have to say perhaps a chipmunk, because I think they're really cute the way they gather nuts and chew and, you know, the clomping noise. They're just kind of sweet.
Excellent. And because I don't study human-animal interaction, I get to cheat and just say a dog. So,
yeah, right.
All right. So I'm reading through this. So you've all done amazing work with this. And as an overview, you are studying relationship experiences and concerns with companion animals in COVID. And you were able to do an anonymous online survey. You shared it with social media to current dog and cat owners, and we're going to be talking about the dog portion of this right now. Ask about their thoughts and their concerns during COVID. You compiled 4,105 responses to the dog survey, and that was done through March 31st through April 19th. And so that's what we want to talk about today. Is, you know, what bit of insight did we learn about the relationship, the concerns that people have with their pet dogs during COVID. So, you know, we introduced you all from the top left. So in general, I'm happy to start from the bottom right with Wendy Packman. And, you know, if you want to go in this kind of order, or if one of you feels so passionate about a question that I ask, I want you to jump in. And we are not going to be following Robert's rules of order in this case. Jump in and let your voice be heard. So we know that people feel less social right now than before. So let's say that a person has a dog, okay? For many people, did you find that this helped fill that void for folks that maybe were feeling, you know, they were feeling less social or less having less social opportunities? Is that something that you were able to find?
Definitely. I would say that the findings bear that out a lot. And it's interesting because we did find that social support actually for people before COVID and after, you know, it actually went down quite a bit. So the dogs were able and are able to fill a very important void for people. And it's really a key source of social support for them, bonding, et cetera.
What kind of activities, I don't know if this was part of the survey, but what kind of activities are people doing with their pets? Because in a lot of states, you can go out for a walk and do those kind of activities, but there's certainly a lot less that people can do. And I don't know if that limits the number of activities somebody can do with their dog, but were you able to question these folks and find out what kind of activities they were doing?
Actually, we did. So we asked folks whether they were spending more time with their dog in general. And then we kind of broke that down into looking at kind of active time where they're actively engaged with them, and then even walking. And people reported significant increases in the amount of time that they're spending with their dog along all those parameters. So it was very encouraging. So it seemed to us that it was really a win-win for the people and for the dogs, because they're getting all these great, you know, additional walks and additional playtime.
Yeah. And you mentioned additional things for the dog, and often we talk about the benefits for the human, but certainly, I mean, Phyllis, maybe you could touch upon this. There's gotta be benefits for the dog themselves. And of course I wonder, geez, what's going to happen when we all go back to work? The poor dog's going to feel abandoned all of a sudden. But did we find that there are benefits for the dog? And maybe you can just touch upon what some of those may be.
Yeah, I think there were definitely benefits for the dog. I mean, obviously they enjoy having, they're very social animals, so they have enjoyed having people with them present. I think our biggest concern is that when people leave, their dogs are going to go back to being sort of, you know, latchkey dogs. There have been, the shelters are quite empty right now because people are beginning to adopt more dogs as well. So I think there's some concern that even though the dogs are very, very happy now, we just want to make sure that we transition when people do go back to a more normal work arrangement, and that dogs who are used to having someone around 24/7, like mine has been, has kind of a transition period to get used to their owners going back to work.
Now, I know at least at our university, there are highs and lows with dogs on campus, right? And certainly our current university president at Washington State University, they have corgis, very social creatures, and they take their dogs up on campus. And, you know, I do wonder if we're going to see additional pets on some college campuses, if that will be something that is allowed. And if because of emotional support, if we're maybe going to relax some of what we consider to be emotional support, you know, restrictions that might exist, because we're so used to right now being around our pets and having them help us feel good. You know, and so I don't know if this is going to be an issue, but I sure hope that while pets are getting adopted and things like that, I sure hope we don't see the opposite effect when folks start going back to work, if we see more pets in animal shelters. I sure hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think even the time that pets are with humans right now also helps to socialize them. So even the fostered animals, I think, you know, helping them be present with humans does help them socialize and make them more adoptable later. So maybe that can be a positive outcome too.
Sure. We're going to get really deep on you here, Corey. So aside from talking about social interaction, just a bond, right? It's something that's deeper with the relationship. Have people felt through your survey that did they indicate that the bond between they and their pet in this case strengthened?
Absolutely. And it was a really significant amount of people who reported that even if they were highly bonded, they even feel even more bonded to their dog right now. And despite all the stressors that are going on, and despite the fact that they're feeling less human to human social connectedness, they are feeling much more bonded with their dog, which is kind of a beautiful thing when you think about it, especially right now. It's a wonderful thing to see.
Now, you all know that sometimes you're in a close proximity with another human. It can have an opposite effect of what we'd want, right? Everybody's petting your peeves at that point, right? I don't know if your survey dove down into this, but did it go into the reverse of the bond, like things that, you know, are driving you nuts about your dog, like you realize, man, your breath is terrible or whatever. I don't know if you got into any of that. I'd let anybody answer that question.
We did actually, because that was a concern of ours, was like you alluded to, that some of the human relationships I think are a bit strained through all of the additional close contact. So we did ask folks not only whether they were spending additional time with their dog, but whether that we gave them options of strengthened or weakened, or both strengthened and weakened that bond, or we called it strengthened and strained. To get at that, exactly what you're talking about, is that maybe we love them like crazy, but now there's behaviors that we're seeing more that are more challenging. And really, it was a very small percentage of people that indicated that this additional time was straining that relationship. By far and away, most people reported that it was strengthening it.
Yeah, I would even think that more of the stress or the strain would be one of financial for some people. Especially those that might be in seasonal positions, or those that, folks working in restaurants that can't work, or non-essential workers in some industries, where now all of a sudden that's an extra mouth to feed, right? And it's a terrible, terrible way to have to think about it. But in terms of the financial logistics, were you able to hear from survey respondents that because of COVID, this novel coronavirus, that it was harder to care for their dog, for vet care, for food, to do those kind of things than normally it would be for them?
Well, we did ask about financial concerns, financial issues, as well as issues of availability. And it seemed like the latter was more important to who we interviewed. Concerns about the vet availability, will they see my pet even though it's not an emergency, that kind of thing. And also, I would say, concerns over availability of meds and dog food, very much like our own human concerns. You know, we have concerns over food and finding sanitizer. You know, it's an availability issue for many people.
Sure. Okay. You know, that makes sense. And I know there's got to be concern. I did see this question in there and it stuck out to me regarding, let me see here. Folks that might get sick just in order to care for their dogs, if they themselves get sick, concern for them about who would do that. You know, who would be the caretaker? I don't know if that's necessarily related to just COVID. I mean, I could see that being a concern in general for a lot of people, like who could care for my dog. But I did see that in there, and that stood out. And I could imagine that might be more stressful if the bond between them has increased, you know, in this time. Now they're really worried about their dog. We got data from 4,000 plus people. As I mentioned, it was 4,105 in terms of the responses. I assume that there was probably mostly these were done in a way to get quantitative data. But did you give people a chance to just, you know, open mic time? They could write what they wanted to about the situation. And did anything really stand out about that? I'd be happy to hear any from all of you, even something that might have stood out and you thought, huh, that's kind of interesting. And I know that's putting you on the spot now, but maybe something that gave you pause, or that you're like, I hadn't thought about that before.
I just wanted to jump into what you were talking about just a second ago about people being concerned about somebody caring for their pet if they got sick. And I think because it's such an important point, is that people did indicate a lot of concern about that. But yet we have about 60% of people that said that they had identified somebody to care for their pet. And So I think it's something that we want to draw attention to, is that there seems to be a little bit of a gap between the concern that people have and the overt behaviors of reaching out, asking somebody, getting a commitment. And, you know, a lot of the comments to that question were, well, it's just kind of understood. And I always personally cringe a little bit about that, because I think, is that understood on everybody's part or just on your part? You know, so so one message that I'd like to get across is that if you have that concern, to be proactive and really set up those relationships.
And I just, I want to second that. That was when we talked about this and kind of the findings in this study, that was something that we hoped would be a point that we could get across to people. You know, I think we see it mirrored with humans as well, right? Like, you may have a will, but you don't have, you know, a directive. You know, you just never kind of do it. You want to, but you never kind of take the action, and that it kind of is an important thing to really, really pay attention to, that we never have in many ways, especially with our dogs.
Yeah, and just to add one piece to that, one of the things that they identified was their social support availability. They felt like it went down during COVID. And mm-hmm. So I wonder too, if people don't know and don't realize that they have people to reach out and connect to the same that they would under normal conditions, to have someone to take care of their pet.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Yeah, that's a good point, Dr. Erdman. I neglected to mention this early, and I think I should, I have four of you with me. There is another member of this team. So Jennifer Curran McCullough or McCulloch, mm-hmm. Yeah, from Colorado State University, from their College of Health and Human Sciences. She's an assistant professor in the School of Social Work there. And I thought that I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fantastic work that she has also put into this, yes. Even though she was not able to join us on this particular thing. So thought I would add that. We're still open for things that you had seen and in the more qualitative section of the survey, if you would like to add things that you had seen that you impressed you or what have you.
And for me, there was just an overall theme of hope. You know, it gave me something to hope for and to look forward to and to do in the mornings. It was just such a positive, hopeful. It wasn't that, oh my gosh, now I'm with this animal 24 hours a day and I have to take care of him. It's like, this is an opportunity. And it just, you know, it relaxes me. It gives me hope. It makes me happy. It makes me feel good. So it's just all the positive things, I think, that you can think of in a relationship. And we know that happens with our dogs, but it was just so obvious in the comments.
And a majority of people really talked about more time mm-hmm. with their dog, yeah. which is pretty significant.
And I wonder how many more pictures we're going to get on Instagram with our dogs, right?
We hope.
Well, these cute dogs behind you, in case you were wondering, I pulled this image off of Google. So these are not my dogs, right? But they are pretty darn cute. And in times of COVID, I certainly wouldn't mind having these three cuddly little puppies with me. Since you all are here, anything that you would like to add, any of you, about the work that you did, maybe the terrific work that your colleagues did, and then moving forward, what do we hope for, I guess, out of this research? What do we hope to use this for? I think that would be a good way to conclude. Well, that's for any of you.
I would love just to highlight, before we ended the extent of people who reported a decrease in negative emotions, because I think that, especially given a time of social isolation and how people are feeling, is really, really important. A decrease in feeling lonely, a decrease in feeling isolated, decreased feelings of depression and anxiety, and feeling overwhelmed. And I think that is an important thing for us to highlight right now during during this time.
Yeah, in a time that we are not really sure when we'll fully be out of that. So yeah, thank you very much. Anybody else?
Well, I mean, I hope it helps people understand that our dogs are also not here, as you said earlier, Brandon, not here just to benefit us. And so, you know, if they are spending that time, or if they adopt a dog or foster a dog, to realize that they're making a big impression on that dog, and to make sure that they transition in a good way. So we don't want to sort of use them during this time for our benefits. And I think that's one of the concern that we might have. So we want to make sure that they're treated well after we go back to our normal routine as well.
Okay. Anything else to add before I end?
I'd like to just add, I think that one of the things that this project really emphasized was how incredibly important these relationships are. And when we look at veterinary medicine, and I know that there was some debate amongst the states about whether it should be seen as an essential service. It's data like these that make it clear that absolutely yes, that these are fundamental and important relationships in people's lives, and that they take on an even more critical role in times like this. You know, when we think about the people that are living alone, you know, and we look at our data that shows that it's that incredible decrease in how connected people feel with other people, it's really important that we as communities do everything we can to support this relationship. And so that means supporting our veterinarians, supporting the animal professionals that, you know, that work to maintain these relationships with us.
Great point. Thank you so much. And I appreciate each of you, plus the work, as I mentioned, of Dr. Curran McCullough, I think. I hope I got that name right. Thank all five of you for this incredible research. And again, we don't know when we'll be out of COVID, but in the meantime, we're learning some incredible new insights into that bonding and that relationship between human beings and their pet dogs. And hopefully we learn enough that we can keep those relationships going. I mean, certainly these dogs are awfully cute. All dogs are cute, and all dogs need love, and all dogs have something to give to us too. So thank you. I appreciate Dr. Erdman for bringing this to my attention to offer to do this. And I appreciate each of you for joining me, because I think this is really cool research. I do believe we're going to hear more about this moving forward, and hope you're all staying safe during this time. And we always end at Wazoo with a go Cougs, right? But I think we can all agree, go dogs, not University of Washington dogs, but our pet dogs. A go dogs is in order. So thank you so much for joining me. And I hope you all have a great weekend and killer research. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you. All right. So done recording. You all go drink your wine, as we talked about beforehand, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, Brandon. We appreciate it.
Thank you.